Shoppers are coming into stores again. Well, certain kinds of stores.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Welcome to the Morning Open, our look at business and the economy just as Wall Street begins its trading day. This morning, a high-end store said its customers are shopping again, but across the street, it is a different story. That's coming up. First, where's Wall Street? Way down. The Dow is off 184 points already at 10,259, and the NASDAQ, S&P 500, all doing the same thing, down more than 2%. This morning, the government said more Americans filed new claims for unemployment benefits last week, and that is a reversal from the last several weeks. Stocks are down in Europe and Asia, too. Let's say good morning to Chief Economist Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. She's with us live from Chicago. Hello.
Good morning.
I want to talk retail sales in a moment, Diane, but stocks way down this morning. I mentioned unemployment benefit claims rose. They're supposed to be falling, aren't they?
You know, it really underscores the fragility of the recovery. Many people who thought they'd never have to apply for unemployment insurance because they had a good severance are now finding they've been unemployed long enough they actually have to apply. So this has been a very difficult, fragile recovery. We are in a recovery. We're generating jobs, but just not enough to accommodate everyone who needs one.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this morning, a Shishi store, Williams-Sonoma, reported higher profits, but Sears said profits were down. Walmart and TJ Maxx gave disappointing forecasts this week. Diane, are we splitting even more into haves and have-nots now?
No, we're really continuing a trend that started before the recession began and precipitated the overhang of debt. What we did is took on a lot of credit in order to compensate for the fact we didn't have income, and now we don't have that credit anymore, and it's showing up in retail sales. Those who have money can spend. Those who don't can't leverage up anymore to spend.
Diane Swonk at Mesirow Financial. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
In Greenville, Ohio, last year, residents blocked a project to bury carbon emissions underneath their town. Well, the company that proposed that project is trying to learn lessons from that defeat. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sarah Gardner has part two of our series on NIMBY, not under my backyard.
The mayor of Greenville, Ohio, wasn't initially opposed to burying carbon emissions miles beneath his hometown. If it worked with CO2 from the local ethanol plant, then it might work to bury emissions from plants that burn coal. But after months of phone calls and protests over a government-backed sequestration project, Mike Bowers made up his mind.
Ultimately, you do need to listen to your constituency. It's always better safe than sorry. If it's an unproven science, then it's just that, an unproven science.
Those words no doubt great on Chuck McConnell at Battelle. That's the R&D lab that led the Greenville project. McConnell says for decades, petroleum companies have injected CO2 underground to help squeeze out hard-to-reach oil. And burying carbon emissions off Norway's coast has proceeded safely since the mid-90s.
I'm not going to suggest that anybody's concerns shouldn't be addressed. But we can't spend the next 5 or 10 years talking about it.
That's because, he says, time to contain global warming is running out. He says sequestration is a catch-22. The demonstration projects are aimed partly at building public trust, but developers can't build public trust if they can't get local approval to demonstrate the technology. Battelle will move its demonstration project, but McConnell wouldn't say where. But this time, he says, Battelle will engage residents more, clearly explain the science, and call its plan something else.
You don't declare it as a project, you declare it as a development.
European sequestration efforts are running into opposition, too. Protesters in Europe were among the first to congratulate activists in Greenville when Battelle scrapped its project there. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
And tomorrow, Sarah will look at the strange bedfellows in the debate over carbon sequestration.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. By Citrix, offering GoToMeeting, allowing people to present, demonstrate, and train online. More at GoToMeeting.com/market. and by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store.
Tomorrow, an aquarium in Long Beach, California, plans to open a new sea otter exhibit. Cute furry animals that kids love? What could go wrong? Well, the exhibit's sponsor is BP, the company trying to clean up one of the largest oil spills in U.S. history. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz takes a look at what happens when a sponsor becomes a potential PR nightmare.
The BP Sea Otter Habitat probably sounded like a great name a month ago, but dead, oil-drenched sea otters have become symbols for the horrors of past spills, making the unveiling of this exhibit an apparent case of terrible timing.
Well, we're certainly getting some press. We'll have to wait and see whether it's good or bad.
That's Aquarium of the Pacific president Jerry Schubel. Nonprofits who take funding from less-than-popular donors should tackle the problem head-on, says Melanie Lockwood Herman of the Nonprofit Crisis Management Center.
More than being a PR disaster for this particular institution, I think this is going to draw attention to the work that it does.
And that's exactly how the aquarium's Schubel plays it when I ask him if he worries about how his otter exhibit might be tainted, so to speak, by BP's oil spill.
I worry more about how can we get society to think about how we're going to deal with these issues. That is something our aquarium is committed to. And getting off of our addiction to oil is part of that story.
Just don't tell BP he said that. I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
And finally, organizers of the 2012 London Olympics have unveiled the Games' official mascot. They considered going with British icons like Big Ben or a Trafalgar Square pigeon or an animated teapot. Instead, they chose a kind of Teletubby creature with one unblinking eye. It's supposed to make you think of the webcam generation and not the fact that London is covered with surveillance cameras that follow your every move. You can see that Olympic mascot at our website, marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.